And welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
James, as eager as I am to get stuck into talking about today's PlayStation Showcase, I'm eager to hear from you as well about Life is Strange True Colors. How was it?
Yeah, it's a game, and it's good. I really enjoyed it. I think
Time we throw it to you for a review, you say the same thing before you eventually get the ball rolling.
I just want people to know it's a game, first
hey, at
of
least
all.
You didn't start with saying it's Iggy. It's all good.
What if we start reviewing Pokemon cards or something? People need to know.
True.
Nah, so my thing with like Life is Strange is like I've always... I don't know. You know, like Before the Storm was kind of... I don't like prequels. And Life is Strange 2, I think it had an important message, but as a game, it was much more... wasn't boring. I just didn't get to it, like it as much. And we'll get to that a little bit later in terms of episodic and stuff. But this one is, like, I guess the first kind of proper sequel since Life is Strange 2. And I just really liked it. Like, I liked the characters. I liked the world. I liked the music. The music is really, really good. Mm. Just everything about it really, really vibed with me. I find with these games, there's always like a few characters I kind of really hate. But in this, I really liked everyone, and they do a really good job of like building this, like this little town of Haven. And yeah, I don't know. I just really liked it.
What did you make of the power this time around? Like, if I'm not mistaken, Alex, like the core protagonist, she's like an empath and she can like feel people's feelings. Is that how it works?
That's one thing I will probably say. Like, it's not that I didn't like it. I just thought the power is, she's an empath. Obviously she can see people's like emotions and kind of interact with them to see like what's causing that. And almost, it's very psychonauts. No, it's not like psychonauts, but like it's, you know, it's, I get the vibe they're going for, but in like at the end of the day, like it's just kind of mind reading. And to me, that's like cool, but like, it's not as, say, interactive as, say, Max's power in the first game where she could, like, rewind time. And that had a tangible effect on gameplay in that you could actually rewind and see her own choices and stuff. And I always thought that was a really cool, like, clever way to, like, subvert kind of all those expectations that we'd had put on us by games like Telltale Games and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it kind of really broke the mold in that way. And I always felt Life is Strange struggled to do that again after it did that with the first one.
So this time around, you're not, like, solving puzzles by, like, exploring people's emotions? Or, like, I don't know how that would
So in terms of, it's literally just like, oh, this person's sad. And then, like, you might enter their, like sad world. And then, see why they're sad.
Right.
And then speak to them about it. Like, it's very, like, it does... Like, I'm not going to say it's surface level. Like, I feel like that's probably doing it a bit of a disservice. But, like, it's very... simple as in terms of gameplay. Like, it's definitely a story first game in that way. Life is Strange always has been, but like it felt more so this in this game than other games, which is why I think like it's not quite my favorite, but it's very close.
I feel like you're being a little bit down on it at the moment. You did give it an 8, so clearly there was like elements to it that you did like.
I don't think I'd be down. I could be like, you've heard me be down on a game. Like, I don't think like I'm down on it by any means. Like, I just think like I'm being
realistic, you talk about Aliens Fireteam. I know what being down on a game sounds like.
I like it, and I like Life is Strange. And I think because I like Life is Strange as a series and Tell Me Why so much, like, I feel like maybe I'm holding it to a higher standard. I don't know. But, like, at the end of the day, I really like Alex. She's one of my favorite main characters in all of the games. The world's great. The music's great. Everything is really, really good. It not being cut up into segments like 2. Like, 2 had these really long waits between the chapters and stuff. Whereas here it's all in one game.
Is it still divvied up into episodes? It's just like all kind of released at once, or chapters?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But
Shannon, Life is Strange, is it a game that speaks to you at all?
No, it's something I've always wanted to get into, just because it does touch themes that I can align with, and obviously they are shorter games, which I do like. And I think I played a few hours of the first one, and I can't remember why I didn't continue, but I'm keen to go through and play at least the mainline ones, to be honest.
I love the first one, and I've been meaning to get to the others, but can't say I have, unless I'm forgetting something. But yeah, I mean, this one speaks to me for a number of reasons, I guess. You mentioned the music, James. Obviously, in the week, I was lucky enough to speak to Angus and Julia Stone as well about their contributions to the soundtrack, and that was like a really enlightening chat, and I loved their connection to the game, particularly around that kind of empath power and kind of exploring the nature of human empathy, I suppose. So yeah, it speaks to me for that sort of reason. I'm kind of eager to jump in.
Now I feel like I've shat on it, but I haven't. Like, I do really like it. Like,
I'm sorry to make you second guess yourself, James.
No, you're not making me. I know how I feel about it, but I don't know. I just like it. It is good. But yeah, there's just some things I was like, oh, like this could have been a little bit better, or like, you know, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah,
and it's also a little bit predictable. That's the biggest thing that annoys me with these games, is when I'm like, oh yeah, this will happen, and then it does, and you're like, oh, like, you just kind of hope that they know that you'll think that it's predictable, and that's, they'll use that as a red herring, but they don't really do that. So that's
right. Okay.
But yeah, I think considering like Before the Storm was Deck Nine's last game, and this is like their latest one, I'm pretty happy for them to keep doing the series going forward, because it's not Don't Nod anymore. So yeah.
Nice. I like that you've highlighted in your review as well. There's great choices to make as well. I love grappling with some of those really tough choices.
I love it. Like, actually having to sit there and worry about what will happen, and you kind of try and think in your head, like, do you know what I mean?
I was pretty down on the overall game, but like where the heart leads does give you some like doozies of questions. I had to screenshot them because I was like staring at the screen for like minutes at a time, like trying to decide what to do.
And the thing about True Colors is like, I wouldn't stop and think if I didn't care about the characters, and I think they did a really good job at making me care.
Nice.
Like, I'm not a crier. Like, I sometimes cry when Macca's forgets to put my sauce in the bag. But like, generally speaking, I don't cry. But this game, like, it was definitely, I didn't cry, but like a super emotional game as well.
But you're telling me it's got like the emotive power of the opening scene of The Last of Us. That's what you're telling me.
I think we've been through this before, Ewan. Like that, it makes me cry when I think about that scene, but not the same reason as you.
Speaking of PlayStation, let's take that opportunity to segue right on over to the PlayStation Showcase, which happened today as of recording. So it's been a big day, or at least a late night recording the podcast.
Huge.
Shannon, I don't quite know where to start with the show. Like, I don't know if you want to just like talk about the games you're excited for or what you made of the show overall, but what was your reaction to the PlayStation Showcase?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird showcase, to be honest, in the sense that, like, the first 30 minutes, like, had some decent announcements. Obviously, Knights of the Old Republic opened it, if I remember correctly, after that, like, 6-minute ad. And then it was sort of just nothing for 25, 30 minutes. And then the last, 6 or 7 minutes was, like, 4 or 5 PlayStation Studios games. I thought it was really good as a showcase, like, predictable, but like, I don't know how you can go wrong with the games and properties that they showed off throughout 40 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah, it's interesting. And James, I'm curious for your opinion on this, because they seem to be very much like sticking to, we're okay with announcing games like well in advance of its release date, particularly with like their kind of tentpole franchises, their tentpole studios. Do you think that's still a wise strategy for them at this point, James?
Yes.
Looking at this lineup, like this, maybe we can start discussing like the games in particular. But you know, things like Wolverine, Marvel's Wolverine, so exciting to see that announced from Insomniac. But with Spider-Man 2 to come out before, presumably before that, like that's years off at this point, right?
Okay, so like, are we just going to talk about everything now? I don't know. I think
go crazy. Talk about
on that point. I just quickly want to say, like, I think Sony, I don't know if, I don't think this was ever by purpose, but I think they've got a really good groove of like announcing 4 or 5 big games as they release like 3 or 4 big games, and then they've found this cycle that works in terms of like hyping up games for 2 or 3 years, releasing it, and starting that cycle again over the last 6 years maybe. But anyway, continue, James.
I didn't start, but sure, let's go.
You're allowed to schmock.
God, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't want to start on a negative, but
I'm going to anyway.
Both of you snickering. I know people really like Spider-Man, but I don't know how I feel if Insomniac is just going to become like a Marvel factory, if that's the vibe that we're getting.
Yeah.
I think it's valid, very valid.
Spider-Man to me is the least interesting Sony first party exclusive to me.
Wow.
Creatively.
Okay. Yeah. Right?
In my opinion, yeah. Like, I'm going to have to add all these disclaimers. but I know a lot of people loved it, so why wouldn't you like follow it up? Venom is like so hot right now with everybody. So it makes sense.
Yeah, I think like we've had this conversation with Brody in the past, but like the last Spider-Man game that we had, he gave a 10.
Yeah.
And it's certainly something my brother likes to mention frequently, that he then only gave The Last of Us Part 2 a 9.5, but I digress. But like, yeah, I didn't feel the same way about Spider-Man, and this is the discussion we've had in the same way, because I felt like although it was well crafted and mechanically like super solid, it didn't do like anything wholly original, like with its kind of design, or like a lot of the missions you were being asked to in the open world setting were pretty kind of derivative, I thought.
Yeah.
That being said, like I would have still given it like an 8+ probably. But yeah, I don't know, like now that we have the expectation of like those really solid like web slinging mechanics and that kind of combat that they really kind of perfected, I think, for the first game. Now that we have those expectations, like how they then build on that and surprise us in the same way that this first game did, I'm not quite sure if they can live up to that. That being said, I don't have any hesitancy against, as much as I'm a Ratchet & Clank fan, like I don't have any hesitancy against them doing more Marvel games. I'm sure this will eat up their capacity to do anything else for the next few years. But like, I don't expect to see a Ratchet & Clank game anytime soon. But
I agree with James in the sense of like, I was really happy to see that God of War Ragnarok is being developed. Well, Corey Barlog isn't directing it. Like they've given it to someone else in the team. And I think I would have liked this to be like go to Insomniac's B team and know that they're working on Wolverine or something else with their A team. Because I don't feel like you can really get it wrong from here with Spider-Man 2. Like you're not going to like the bones are there. Like you just have to build on that slightly. So I hope that the bulk of their team isn't being not wasted on that, but taken up by that, because they've think, obviously got some Insomniac, great creative minds.
Like I think of like Resistance 2. Like Ratchet and Clank and fucking, I don't know, no one likes it as much as Sunset Overdrive. Like they're just all really like, fun, exciting, bright games, you know, and they all do things a little bit differently. That being said, to like quickly go back to like Wolverine,
that could be really different.
Yeah, but I think if they're gonna do it, I don't know if it will happen though. Like I feel like they really have to make it like Logan, like kind of Wolverine, like you know, like M.A.R.
Did you not get that impression from the trailer though? Like I feel,
yeah, but that doesn't.
Have we seen like he's got sitting there in a bar with like bodies kind of all around him? He's got bloody knuckles. Like when have we ever seen blood in an Insomniac game?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like if they don't do that, I think that would be really upsetting. Like if it's just like another weak M kind of. I'm not saying that like the rating denotes the quality of the game, but like I feel like if it's just going to be like this kind of this game that needs to hit everybody, you know, market share wise, like I would, I'd rather do something different with Wolverine where I can cut people up in like a non-weird way. I think
an interesting like, side note to the blog post that came out about it after the reveal was that they had pitched for this game, like on the kind of back of their success with Spider-Man. And I wonder if they've had some leniency that have gone, okay, like you've proved that you can do the mass market game with Spider-Man. Let's get another one of those under our belt. And then you can do what you want with Wolverine. Because I might be looking into this way too much. And we may be going down like abandoned territory here, which was a notable absence from this show, Grace, but that's beside the point. Looking at the Wolverine logo, it looks grittier. Like, okay, I don't know if you feel the same way about this one.
I think we're talking about logos. Like,
no, I
hear me
I
out though. Like it's the monotone color. It's kind of got that like scruff around it. Like, I feel like it could be a gritty kind of gritty game from Insomniac we've not seen before. I'm here for it.
I know nothing about Wolverine or Logan or anything, but like my take in is it's not just going to be like a super casual hack and slash type game. Like it's going to be like your God of War or The Last of Us and like have some kind of hard hitting story. Otherwise I'd be disappointed, even though I know nothing about.
But that would be closer Wolverine. To like, Logan than say like X-Men.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted, isn't it, James?
Yeah, I know, but we don't... like, we're not... Are you trying to create an argument, Ewan? Because it's not going to happen. Like, let these things organically grow fester, please.
We'll have an argument about whether or not we're having an argument. Shannon, I am going to just totally jump ship and ask you about God of War Ragnarok, seeing as you mentioned it a couple of times. I know we're both really big fans of it. What did you make of the Ragnarok trailer?
Yeah, I thought it was like just enough to wet the mouth, if you will. I don't know what I'm saying. I was
wondering
tonight.
Where that
it's been a long day.
It's wet the whistle.
Yeah, it's been a long day. It's
wet my whistle. No, I thought it was really good. I thought it was like a minute and a half like story stuff, which we knew it was going to push in that direction anyway, but it was good to get confirmation and see it. And then it was like a minute to a minute and a half of like exploration and combat, showing off some new enemies.
Yeah,
and stuff. But again, like with Spider-Man, like they can't really go wrong with this, and I don't feel like it's going to change anything up too crazily, which I don't think I have a huge problem with, more so in this case. Just keen for it.
Yeah, like you said, like they seem to have kind of not handballed it, but kind of passed the torch on it somewhat, which I think makes a lot of sense, as you said. Like they've kind of really solidified like what this rebooted world is, and they said that this is the kind of conclusion of the Norse arc or whatever, saga might have been the word they used. I love the circular nature of these trailers, like in comparison to the one we saw for the original, not original, the last title. When did that come out now? 2016? Was it later than that?
17 maybe? Seven? Or 18 even? 2018, I think.
2018. Anyhow, too long regardless. But I love the kind of circular nature of it where, like, you know, the first trailer was about taking Atreus out for his first hunt and killing his first deer. And this one starts with him, like, walking into the cave and presenting a dead deer. And knowing, like, the arc that character's kind of gone on, I think that's quite, like, where the last game ends up, like it's quite a formidable kind of scene, I think. I was surprised though, like how far they went with the reveal this time around though. Like they really went into detail about what characters we could expect and kind of named who some of the characters were in the trailer with some detail. Did that take you aback at all? Was it kind of starting to wade into spoiler territory maybe?
I'm not someone who really cares about that kind of thing. Like I think I saw two or three of the enemies, like that main big, I kind of remember that lizard thing. I was like, I probably would have rather saved this for the game. But honestly, by the time it comes out in 18 months, or whatever, like you would have forgotten about it. Like I definitely don't need to see more, but at the same time, I would watch it if they put something else out. I feel like nothing they showed was like, oh my God, I can't believe he is in the game, right? Like it was all pretty straightforward stuff.
Makes sense. Where's your excitement levels at for Ragnarok, James?
Stick it in me. Wherever you want. God of War is like my favorite, I think my favorite first party Sony game. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say franchise, and I was like, what? No, how did I miss this? Like, all the Resident Evil filter, talk.
Like, bring that back, please. No. the dream is dead there. No, I think, yeah, like, it's. It looks really good. I kind of agree. I think so much of the mystery and stuff with the first one was like, who are all these people in terms of like, you know, revealing like Loki and Freya and all that kind of stuff. Like that was kind of the big thing in that this one, because it's such a new world for Kratos. And I feel like you can't really do that again. Like with, oh, this might be Thor. Like they're just going all out with that. So I think that's really cool. I think that's fine. I don't think it's too spoilery. I think God of War is... People talk about it a little bit like, I don't know. I feel like with Spider-Man... So we've had Spider-Man, then Miles Morales, and now we're getting Spider-Man 2. Like, I feel like that's why we talk about, say, Spider-Man with maybe a little bit less thingy. But with God of War, I feel like when you finish God of War, you kind of felt like that they could do more with it. Like, I feel like there's a lot more potential there. You know, the big, big set-piece battle in the first God of War was really good. And you kind of waited for that next big set piece to come. And I don't think it ever did. which isn't it?
It really feels like it's building towards something. It feels like happened, and obviously teases a sequel big time.
And I feel like they probably ran out of money or time too. And I feel like they don't have to worry about that now that the reboot has proven itself so well, which really excites me for this. So yeah, I think.
I am curious as to where it goes from, if this is the end, like the Norse saga, like where does it go from here?
It's interesting that they're calling it, I feel like calling it a saga, like after like two games is maybe a little
two
bit
games.
Like we agree. Spent like, yeah. What, six games in Greece or five games, and then like we're like, okay, we're done with Norse now.
I like that they're kind of recognizing that it'll be over though, and like they're not going to keep pushing it out, because I feel like that is my worry with PlayStation going forward, like that they're going to keep, like turn it to Nintendo and keep just creating and iterating on these franchises that have sold well over the last 5 years.
Yeah, I agree. And I reckon maybe after we finish Ragnarok, we'll all be like, yeah, cool, like that's fine now, like enough. But then, yeah, I don't know.
I think they are sort of building a reputation though of like solidifying studios that have a lot of pull in their own way, and like they can't kind of giving them license to do new IPs. Like we've seen that with Ghost of Tsushima, with Sucker Punch. I feel like Corey Barlog is probably working on something new. Like they didn't reveal anything about it, but I sort of feel like they could introduce a new IP and people would go, it's Corey Barlog, it's the God of War team, like this is going to be great, regardless of what it is. There's still more games that we ought to discuss though from this showcase. James, I wanted to come back to you and ask you about Ghostwire Tokyo as well, because that's been one we've not heard from in a little while, and I feel like we saw more of the game this time around with its new trailer. Where is that game sitting with you at the moment?
I forgot to watch the trailer for that one, so I can't really tell you. I skimmed it with, like, no sound, and it's looking good. I don't know. I still don't really know about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a bit of a mystery to me. Maybe if I watched the trailer, it wouldn't be a minute, but, like, I feel like it's abstract on purpose, right?
Yeah, oh, no, for sure. I was curious to ask you about what you thought of, like, the enemy designs and just, like, the kind of tone and atmosphere of it.
I didn't really get horror from it, to be honest, at all.
I think it's meant
vibes.
To be, like, action thriller, maybe.
I mean, the enemies are, like, certainly scary, but, yeah, like, I kind of got more Dishonored kind of vibes kind of looking at it. But, yeah, I mean, certainly some of the enemies look pretty freaky, but it doesn't look like a suspenseful kind of horror in the same way we might have expected.
Yeah, like I'm just quickly skimming it right now, and like, oh yeah,
it's all right. We can come back to it next week when you've had some
time. I'm literally looking at it now. I see what you mean. Like, there's definitely like DNA in there, like say from Evil Within and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just don't. With games like this, don't you? You know what I mean? You just want to play it. You just want to, and especially with these games where like we've been seeing trailers for so long. And stuff, and it looks better, like it looks way more polished, but I just want a demo or something.
Yeah, it's interesting, like with the kind of adventurous is, I feel like a lot of the Bethesda sort of suite of games are, I say that, but I'm really thinking of just Deathloop as well. I feel like Deathloop's another situation where it's like it's hard to kind of explain and comprehend, and I feel like it's going to benefit from getting people's hands on it and kind of seeing it in action. This might be the same sort of thing. Let me ask you about Forspoken then. Did you get a chance to watch that trailer? What did you make of that one?
Looks great.
Doesn't it?
That's all I...
Yeah.
I want to play that too. Is it the girl from, I know the villain in this now is the, from
Janina Gavankar.
Yeah. Really cool. I liked her in Battlefront.
I do like the people behind this one a lot. Like it's, it kind of, I think again came out in blog posts afterwards, but, it's Amy Hennig and Todd Stashwick writing on this alongside Gary Witter as well from Rogue One fame. But to see, you know, Amy Hennig and Todd Stashwick, if I'm not mistaken, were working on the cancelled Visceral Star Wars game. So to still see them writing together is excellent. And obviously Amy Hennig's kind of history and game speaks for itself with her attachment to the Uncharted series. So that alone kind of has me interested in what this game is looking like at the moment.
I can't wait. I feel like when we saw this a year ago, whenever it was, we all thought it was just one of those Square games that we see at like a console reveal event and would never see again. But to know that it's actually like a proper game that it just looks like it could release start of next year, looks good.
I'm just like a big sucker for like good traversal in open worlds. You know what I mean? Like they're able to like fucking zip through from A to B like with no problem. And this looks
Shannon, we were watching the conference together on a call this morning. You said it looks like the first kind of proper next-gen game. Like, is that kind of what you meant by that as well?
Yeah, like it just looks super smooth and gorgeous and so much happening on screen, but no slowdown.
It's only PS5 or anything. And too, yeah?
I think it's on PC. Yeah. That could be wrong. But yeah, it's definitely next-gen only. Exciting.
Yeah.
What's my whistle?
Heaps more games that we could talk about. I'm
Knights
curious.
Of the Old Republic, I'd be keen to hear James's thoughts. And I feel like Ewan and I didn't really know a whole lot about it watching this morning. Sorry to sell you short there if you did, Ewan.
No, I didn't. Yeah, got me penned. What about you, James? Are you a Knights of the Old Republic fan? Can you educate us?
Well, obviously, I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you talk about Star Wars games, most people would tell you that Knights of the Old Republic is the best one. Good story.
I feel like I've heard that.
Sorry? Pardon?
I feel like I've heard that.
I must say, I saw some like real casual gamers hyped about this, which I wasn't expecting. Like in my mind, this was like a hardcore PC game, but I saw some people that I've never seen posting about gaming on my feeds.
The first two, I think, like, just to be clear, like Knights of the Republic is the single player RPG, and then The Old Republic was like the MMO. But the first two were like kind of like a BioWare made the first one, Obsidian made the second one. Both really, really solid RPGs set in the Star Wars world, and before Star Wars was like, you know, like
cool.
Here's Ray's shoes. You can buy them for $20. Like this, like this intense commercialized entity. But like, I think KOTOR is like definitely one of the best Star Wars games I think ever made. I personally think it's like a little bit overrated. I don't know if like it'll do. They just have to. I feel like they have to do a lot more to it to make it modern. Because
yeah, I was gonna say
the combat is very, like almost like kind of like WoW kind of. But
I think they were saying it's been remade from the ground up, right?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. Like, I don't know if we know much about it because I haven't kept an eye on the news afterwards. But I think that voice work from Jennifer Hale as Bastila, who's like one of the main characters, is new voice work. So I think this is like a ground up.
I think everything is from the ground up, and I think they said it was still early-ish, which is surprising given we've been hearing about it for a while.
And with a lot of dialogue and stuff. But Aspia, who were making it, have also hired a lot of ex-BioWare employees and stuff too, so there's like a lot of people who have probably worked on the original, which I think is really cool.
That is cool.
That being said, it's interesting, isn't it, that it's always been an Xbox game. Like Xbox and PC, and now I think it's only on PS5 and PC.
Yeah,
which is like weird to me, but that's like whatever. But like, I just think
I was sighing. It was a really good opportunity to segue there, but it's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we are going to have to move past it. There's too much I want to talk about.
Yeah, go. I was quickly going to say it is. I guess Lucasfilm is also doing Indiana Jones with Xbox, so they are spreading it around a bit. But yeah, it just seems
it's
like
just like
Disney
all the Star
really
Wars games are on Xbox, like on Game Pass and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's weird that there's that relationship and then... But like, I mean, whatever. I think like it'll still be good regardless.
Might just shake out in the negotiations.
I hope that it's actually a proper remake. I hope there's no cuts made just to make it like viable today. You know what I mean? Like it's a big game from an old era. Like to remake a game of that scale today would be expensive.
Maybe there'll be a remake part two.
See, I don't want that. Like, and then fucking adding in shit storylines that no one cares about, like Final Fantasy VII did. Like, no. But yeah, cool.
Just as a final note, I thought it'd be fun this afternoon to put a poll into our Aussie PS5 discussion group and ask people what were their favorite PlayStation studios or favorite studio within the family of studios at PlayStation working at the moment. And far and away, it was Insomniac Games with 430 votes as of now. And Sony Santa Monica Studio came in second with 120 votes. So huge difference there. But yeah, really shows that pull, I guess, that Spider-Man 2 and now I suppose Wolverine is having. Like people love those games. Speaking of games that people love though, James, and speaking of games that were once Xbox games and now PlayStation games, that was the segue that I was trying to ham-fist in there. Alan Wake, the remaster, is now legit. It's official. It's real. We've seen a trailer for it today within the showcase as well. I know this is something that you're excited for, James. How would you sell those to people that haven't played it? Like, why would you say, get on Alan Wake, play this remaster when it drops next month?
I just think it's like a matter of like, do you have good taste or not? Like, if you have,
Alan Wake, take pride in having good taste in games, you must play
literally it. Like, do you want to embarrass yourself and just not have played it? Like, when you're in a social situation, no, nah. It's just really good. It's a game, and it's really good.
It's $30 too, which is great. I think.
I think it's very reasonably priced, but I don't think they've fixed anything at all. Like, it's just like a visual redo. It's got no HDR either, which I think sucks because that's a game that would really do well. But I understand it would be hard to crack open that engine because they've added it now, but not back then.
Alan Wake is on Game Pass at the moment. Do we know if the remaster is going to come to Game Pass?
We don't know because it's a separate... I think it's published by Epic technically. So, like, I don't think it's part of that deal. But anyway, to go back to it.
I was having a hard time.
It's just... Alan Wake is, like, just a really cool, like, mystery thriller. I wouldn't call it a... Is it horror? I feel like it's more of, like, a mystery thriller. And, like, it's got, like... It's, like, Twin Peaks-y kind of. And it's, like, Stephen King. And it's, like... I don't know. I just think, like, if you've ever played Control... And you liked that vibe. Like, obviously, it's very different. Control's probably more almost sci-fi. But Alan Wake is, like, kind of the other side of that coin. And I think Remedy obviously has big plans for, you know, this big shared universe. And I think that Control and Alan Wake will probably exist within that universe. So you probably want to play that anyway if you did like what Control was. As a game, I think it is a little bit simple. There's definitely, it lags a little bit in the middle, but like the mystery, the story, the mood, the atmosphere, all of that is just there in like droves. And it's just such an inviting, like, I don't know, like you just get drawn into this world, like, and you just want to find out what's happening and the characters are all really cool. Like, it's just a really good game. It's one of their best, I think.
Shannon, October's getting squishy, but are you going to replay this?
October's getting squishy. I love that.
Squishy. There's lots of games getting like...
There's a new line in there. I'd like to say yes, because it is one of my favorite games of all time. But yeah, knowing how many games are coming out in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to say probably not at this point.
You have like 47 previews.
I feel like I owe it to both of you to play this game. And I know I say that a lot. So the rapid-fire question of the day...
Sorry, you would go.
The rapid-fire question of the day is, will you actually play this game, James?
Like, no. Because he doesn't do anything. Like, what the last game you played, Ewan?
The last game... I'm playing Psychonauts 2 at the moment, actually. I'm loving it, by the way.
Okay, what about... Damn, I thought it would be something shit like GTA Online or like Fortnite.
You can't critique me too
and
much.
And you're like, I don't have any time. It's like, plays League of Legends for thousands of hours.
Yes.
Shannon, do you have faith in me?
You will. It's like 6 or 7 hours, isn't it? Like 6 to 8 hours. You can smash through it in, if memory serves correct.
Just do it.
Sounds...
Like, you like story and shit, Ewan. Like... I do. Put up or shut up.
You're not wrong. I did want to get to one more news piece of the day, seeing as it caused a bit of a hoo-ha in the week. James, this Horizon Forbidden West PS5 debacle, I must admit, I didn't keep up with it awfully well. Remind me what exactly has happened here. I just kind of got my collector's edition pre-ordered and bounced out. I was like, I don't need to worry about this PS4 edition. This is fine.
Okay.
What was the deal with the PS4
I'm
upgrade?
I'm sure Shannon Malik, correct me if I'm wrong. Damage control, but like I think that from what I understand, when all of this happened, like obviously Sony, I think they're doing a thing now where they'll announce a pre-order date and that's when all the collectors will go up and all that kind of stuff. So when the collectors went up for Horizon, I think people were a little bit shocked to find that the only way that you could get the PS4 and the PS5 version together is through the collector's edition. That was the first.
No, it was through like a digital cross-gen version, I think.
No, that's not true.
Because the collector's edition doesn't have a physical copyright. It's just a download code.
That's correct. And then I don't think the PS4 version wouldn't upgrade to the PS5 version without paying. Is that right? Or was there no upgrade path at all originally?
Yeah, so I think there was an upgrade path of like $10 or $15, I think. Or maybe there wasn't at all. Yeah, maybe there wasn't.
So there wasn't an upgrade path originally, and they've since like backflipped and said that there will be for this game, but then for future first-party games, there will be a PS4 to PS5 upgrade path, but it will cost money.
Yeah.
So I was interested.
A 10 US dollar fee, apparently, which $13 hereabouts. We'll see what that nets out to actually be.
Yeah.
But yeah, sounds like that's going to be from this point forward. But the for Horizon, that's kind of back to being a free upgrade, which I think has now kind of worked out a bit weird. It's like, well, why would you buy the PS5 copy of the game? Because the PS4 copy is cheaper.
And I think that's been the weirdest thing about this since day one. Like, you've always been able to get the PS4 version of these games for cheaper, not just first party, like third party as well, which is weird.
I don't know if you guys realize how much people value that white banner though on their boxes.
Yeah. Oh, they really do. Yeah. I know that. Yeah, firsthand. Shout out to DP.
My thing like with this is like, I don't know. Like, I feel like with Ghost of Tsushima, right? Like, that upgrade costs money and people kind of got a bit thingy about that. But to me, that game, like, it had an expansion. Yeah. There was more work done on that game.
Yeah.
So fair enough. It's going to cost money. But then I think
if it's to play the same game on a different console, like, just make it free. Like, the game should be priced the same.
Like,
on
I feel
both
like
consoles.
So like with God of War, like, they're making that now for PS4 and PS5.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, if you buy the PS4 version, you'll have to pay to upgrade to the PS5 version is, like, kind of rough. Like, because that game is being made from the outset for PS4 and PS5. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's no...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, like, EA charged, like, more because they were developing something for every fucking console, like FIFA, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't, like...
I think they are now. I think EA is not doing their free upgrade path anymore as well.
Really?
If you would apply the same logic to, like, PC gaming, right? Like, say you downloaded a game off Steam and you, like, played it on your 1060 and then down the line upgraded to a 3000 series card, the game would just scale up. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's the same game.
And I think
don't
with console games
the director's
now,
cut,
it's
different
more like
story,
that
different
than it ever was.
Yeah, exactly.
But then people,
so I'm just like,
I think the other the other side of the argument is, like, people say, well, like, the PS5 version has haptics, but, like, I don't really know if...
really?
Like, I'm like, is that really taking away... Is that expanding, like, the production costs of your game so significantly?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
And, like, I know that you guys love that.
Like, a complicated procedure about going from a PS4 library to a PS5 library and linking your accounts and stuff, I'd be like, maybe charge for it to, like... I don't know, maybe handle the procedure or something. I don't know. But, like, there isn't any of that. Like, it's beyond the point.
Yeah, it's all a one weird library. One. I think Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding are very different because they're being added to after the fact.
Yeah.
But these games are both.
I agree.
But then, and I think it also matters for Horizon because I think in Feb or March, whenever it's coming out, like, people still might not be able to get a PS5 if they want one because it's still impossible to get one. So, like, it's very conceivable that someone might buy the PS4 version then a week later have a PS5 and want to play the PS5 version on their PS5. So I think from that point of view, like, it's justifiable, but the other side of it is probably not going to affect, like, 98% of people who will just buy the version they want day one and that will be fine for them. But that's not really an excuse either, but that's my point. Like, it's not going to affect that. Like, it wouldn't affect any of us, for instance.
And it just seems like a cash grab to me. I think that's what irks me about the whole
thing.
I think what the problem, and that's the other thing, is, like, the thing that makes it not be a good look is that, like, smart delivery is better on Xbox. Like, I know
that
Shannon's
that
like,
that,
it's
that's
just a term.
No. But, like... Like, that's Xbox's MO, but, like, I still think Nintendo. Like, Nintendo have released how many games on the Switch that were on the Wii U and charged full price for them? Like, and they just get a free pass every single
time.
But that's
time. Not, like, okay, but we can, let's get to that in a second.
But
like, I still...
That's the same, it is the same thing.
We'll just,
like,
just shut up for two, it's not the same. It's like, let's just move on for 2 seconds. We'll talk about that. We'll come back to that. Because I'm not saying that they're good, too.
Sounds like a Nintendo stand ready
like
to come
it,
in and
it,
fight.
You guys
know
like,
how much
got
I
Xbox.
Hate, like, have such a, like, a problematic relationship with Nintendo. But, like...
it's definitely a business call. Like, it is a business
think,
call.
Like,
Xbox...
You chuck the disc in and it works. Like, it's... And it's pretty much the exact same way. The only people who don't do that, I think, now are 2K, like, the NBA.
Yeah.
And COD, which is Activision. But, like, you can't tell me that that's... Like, you know, Halo Infinite, that disc will work on Xbox
but
One and Xbox Series
but
X.
That's Xbox's MO is selling the service now. Like, they're not in the business of selling games or making money in that way anymore. Like, that is just their way of doing business. And it's better. It's better for the consumer, of course. But, like, that's just not what PlayStation and Nintendo want to do. And, of course, they're going to make money where they can. Like, $10 times a million people. It won't be a million people. But you know what I'm going to say? Like, times 100,000 is... $1 million. Is that right? I think it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, they
realized you were going to start to defer to us some math. I was like, no, don't do this.
Anyway, let's move on.
You know my point.
The mental gymnastics that Shannon's doing.
It's the right decision. No. It is the right decision. But I think it's like, at least they've made it clear going forward, like, this is what's happening. Like, I don't think they could just stop it and not say anything about it, especially because Horizon was announced at the first PS5 event with all these other games that had the free upgrade. So they had to do this, I think.
I just think they can do better. So let's quickly just pivot back to...
Can't we all?
I think we all totally agree on that.
But like, and I want to like clarify, I don't think what Nintendo's doing is better either. But like, yeah. Like, leave me alone, Shannon. It's not got nothing to do with me.
I think Nintendo are maybe only getting away with it with the Switch because there were so few Wii U players to begin Shannon, with.
Like, bring your fucking Wii U disc and shove it in your Switch and we'll give you a... Like, what's the solution? Do you want them to just give
you... You know what I mean, though? Like, no. Yeah, but it's not... Yeah.
It would have been nice if they had some sort of program that, like, allowed Wii U owners to
come
at least get
on
a discount or something. I don't know how you would have worked it.
There's no... Like, yeah.
I think in PlayStation's case, there's an ecosystem that just seamlessly bounces from one to the next.
The Wii U being shit isn't an excuse for them charging $80 for the same thing 5 years later.
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you can literally take your PS4 disc and insert it into the PS5. Like,
yeah, I know.
And it's read. It
could
reads
we all
the
just
game.
Agree
like,
that we all feel for PS5 digital owners in Australia at this point?
Oh,
because
my
they
God.
Have been
yeah.
no,
absolutely
I think
shafted.
That you were all warned, like, pretty hard.
Yeah. It was. Like, no, yeah, it was
to
obvious
the show,
in Australia.
Like,
it's
we've
going to be a problem.
Brody shit since the dawn of time. Like, I'm sorry, but no.
It is beyond comprehension to me that we still pay less at retail than we do digital. I just don't. Doesn't make any sense. Anyhow, that's a whole other argument, and we better play What the Wiki, the Press Starts podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points, and last week those points were awarded to moi. James still, though, comfortably in the lead on 11, Shannon on 9, Brody, myself, tied on 5, Harry on 3, Kieran on 1, and Stephen on nil pois. So I'm back in the hosting chair, which is seemingly a rare occurrence nowadays, but I have some games prepared, and contestants, if you're ready, I will begin reading them.
Go on.
The game is an open-world action-adventure game that incorporates tactics from stealth games. It is presented from the third-person perspective, showing the playable character on screen and allowing the camera to be freely rotated around it. The game is set within the city, which is open to the player from the beginning of the game, allowing them to travel freely anywhere within its boundaries. The player can move silently throughout the game, using a combination of gadgets and stealth moves to sneak up on enemies and incapacitate them. The game's hero can use his cape to glide around the city, diving downwards and swooping upwards to extend his flight. Shannon.
Batman Arkham. Batman Arkham Origins, I don't know.
It's not Batman Arkham Origins, no. Where was I in this sentence? The game's hero can use his cape to glide around the city, diving downwards and swooping upwards to extend his flight, and he can use the grapple gun's retracting rope to attach to out-of-reach ledges. The player is able to use detective vision, a visual mode that highlights elements of interest on screen, such as character status, collectibles, and clues. The mode is also used to perform forensic activities, such as tracking
can
the source
I go again?
And a sniper rifle round.
No.
The player has access to an in-game criminal database, which includes forensic puzzles, as well as a network of hacking communication frequencies. That is the end of the paragraph. James, did you want to have a guess?
No, I'll wait for Shannon.
Shannon?
I don't know.
No, come on. Just say one.
Batman Arkham City.
It is Batman Arkham City. Well done, Shannon. You just needed to back yourself.
Yeah. I didn't even know if that was a
You were so
game.
Close with the first guess.
I know.
All right, game number two. Alex's primary superpower is his ability to shapeshift, changing his body into anyone. Going hand in hand with this power is his ability to consume others, absorbing them entirely. This process
James.
Allows Alex to regain... James?
Is it Prototype?
It is Prototype. Well done, James. Have we picked up on the theme yet?
No. I think so.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Game number three, the tiebreaker. The game is an action role-playing game set in an open-world city. The game features four playable characters, each character with a unique playstyles and abilities, such as Robin being able to teleport via the
Shannon.
Justice League satellite. Shannon, just in.
Gotham Knights.
It is Gotham Knights. Well done,
I have no idea what the theme was, though.
It's just superhero games, really.
Prototype is not a superhero game.
Yeah, that's what threw me. Not,
they've got superhero.
Can we take
superhero
a point
powers
off you and for like a shit thing?
As long as it
Look,
comes
I
to me.
I googled superhero games and Prototype came up, and I was like, "That's one slightly left of field."
Oh, babe.
It was nearly infamous, Come but on. I thought I'd do you all a
this
favor.
This is getting interesting. I'll need to plot
Shannon,
next week's time for
that
James.
Big time actually.
Time that James can't make it.
1 point's difference between the two of you. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Pressed Up podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
You can follow me at shangeek_ on the Twitters.
And we've also been joined today by James.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at James, ATJ. You can just find me, but I'm not going to tell you where. Just ATJMZ. I'm always up and ready for a chat, I guess.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.